Open now thy gates of beauty, Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for him who answers prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace. Gracious God, I come before thee, come thou also unto me, where we find thee and adore thee, there a heaven on earth must be. To my heart, O enter thou, let it be thy temple now. Hear thy praises gladly chanted, hear thy seed is safely sown. Let my soul where it is planted bring forth precious sheaves alone, so that all I hear may be fruitful unto life in me. Thou my faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine. Howsoever temptations thicken, may thy word still o'er me shine as my guiding star through life, as my comfort in all strife. Speak, O God, and I will hear thee. Let thy will be done indeed. May I undisturbed draw near thee while thou dost thy people feed. Here of life the fountain flows. Here is balm for all our woes. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him.
We pray together, Psalm 65, verses 9 to 13. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain. For so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
O mighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend, and righteous fruit abound. Let not the sly satanic foe this holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love. Let not the world's deceitful cares the rising plant destroy, but let it yield a hundredfold the fruits of peace and joy. So when the precious seed is sown, life-giving grace bestow, that all whose souls the truth receive, its saving power may know.
The Old Testament for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Romans, the 8th chapter. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel is from St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. And for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the Epistle, with the theme, God, our Father. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give us your Holy Spirit who writes the preached word into our hearts. May we receive and believe it and be cheered and comforted by it in eternity. Glorify your word in our hearts and make it so bright and warm that we may find pleasure in it. Through your Holy Spirit, think what is right and by your power, fulfill the word. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, Amen. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, I'd like to begin by considering two pictures. One is an etching, and the other a painting. They are both by the same artist. They are both of the same subject. But there is a world of difference between them. The artist is Rembrandt. And the subject is the return of the prodigal son. In 1636, Rembrandt created a small etching of this scene. Then, 32 years later, he returned to the subject and painted a larger masterpiece, The Return of the Prodigal Son. When you contrast these two studies, one an etching and the other a painting, you notice a world of difference between the two. In the etching, Rembrandt focuses upon action. The scene is filled with movement. People are descending a staircase. Some are watching their steps. One looks to the side. Another looks downward. But all are rushing to join the father who has rushed out before them to lean over and embrace his son. The father himself is moving forward. Rembrandt catches him in mid-stride as he rushes to reach out and grasp his son. In the painting, however, the picture is different. Here, Rembrandt creates a sense of stillness. He focuses on presence rather than action. No one is moving. Everyone is stationary. And all of the people, whether standing or sitting, are gazing on one central experience. The father leaning over his son. The son leaning into his father. These two people locked in an eternal embrace. It is as if time has stopped and one sees that moment, that eternal moment, when the father acknowledges, claims, receives, blesses, yes, loves his son. This is a moment of sonship, of being claimed as somebody's child, and Rembrandt sought to capture that moment and freeze it upon your memory. I begin with that image because in our reading from Romans this morning, Paul does something similar. He has revealed to us Christ, our deliverer. Now he focuses our eyes upon God, our Father. Rescued by Christ from the power of sin, we are brought into the kingdom of God, where we live by the Spirit as children of God. We are children of God. That's the main point that Paul wants to communicate to the church at Rome and to us today. In Christ, God claims you as his son. God is our Father, and we are his children. But what does it mean to be claimed as God's children? To answer that question, Paul creates a contrast. The contrast between slaves and sons. Paul writes, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Notice how Paul turns our attention to a moment of prayer. He asks the church to stop and consider what happens when we pray. Our words are suspended in midair. Our Father. And Paul wants us to hear them. Paul freezes that moment and he asks us to consider what it means to be God's son. If you look closely at Rembrandt's painting, you can see what this looks like. Rembrandt places the son's head on his father's bosom, and the father uses his hands to draw the son closer to himself. What is strange, however, is that the son looks less like a son and more like a slave. His head is shaven, as if he were a prisoner. His eyes are closed as if he were exhausted. He brings all of his slavery there before his father. And the father reaches down to claim this slave as his son. He hovers over him in love. He places his hands upon his body and draws him to himself. The child brings slavery to his father, but the father brings sonship to the child. This child is no longer a slave, but a son, not a prisoner, but a child of God. Henri Nouwen, a priest and devotional writer, once told about a time when he shared this picture with others. For him, the son looked like a prisoner, like the victim of a concentration camp with his head shaven. A woman, however, offered a different view. She looked closely at the painting and told him what she saw. It was not the head of a prisoner, but that of a newborn child. With that comment, she captured the mystery of this moment. The one who has been a slave to his passions is made by the love of his father into a son. This is what the Apostle Paul is celebrating in our letter from Romans. By nature, our sinful passions consume us and take us far from the kingdom of God. If we live according to the flesh, we will die. Exiled, imprisoned, thrust far from God's kingdom. God, however, has brought us to the life in the death of His Son. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, out of love for His people. In dying, Jesus took upon Himself the exile of our sin. And in rising to life, Jesus brings us into the kingdom of His Father. Today, in Jesus, we bring our slavery before God. We confess the ways we have been less than God's children, the ways that we have been enslaved to the experiences and rule of this world. God, however, comes to us in Jesus. He places His hands upon us and draws us near to His heart in love. Today, you are once again claimed by God to be one of His beloved children. As Paul writes, the Spirit Himself bears witness that with our spirit, that we are children of God. The Spirit cries out with your spirit, Abba, Father. The Church has a way of reminding us of this moment. It's hidden away in our hymnals, buried deep within the minor details of liturgical action. But it is there nonetheless. I'd like you to think about two moments in life captured in the liturgy, the moment of baptism and the moment of dying. In the service of baptism and the commendation of the dying, the pastor does one simple thing. He places his hands on the person, whether that person is being baptized or dying, and he asks everyone who is gathered around that person to pray the Lord's Prayer. If you were baptized as an infant, you couldn't say the Lord's Prayer, but the congregation said it for you. If you are lying there unconscious and about to die, you cannot say the Lord's Prayer, but again the pastor and the church say it for you. Why? Because God in this moment is coming and claiming you as His child. In baptism, as you are brought into the kingdom, the church offers you the Lord's Prayer. This is your prayer, your language to use to speak to God your Father. As you depart this world in the moments of death, the church gathers again to testify that you are God's. These are your words. God has given them to you as His child. Because you are in Christ, you can call God your Father, and nothing, not even death, can take that away from you. Later in this service, we will pray the Lord's Prayer. I'd like you to think about that moment. This is not just a repetition of a prayer that we say every week, something to say without paying attention. This is the working of the Spirit. Even now, in our midst, God is reaching out and placing His hands upon you, drawing you close to His bosom, and the Holy Spirit is testifying with our spirit that we are children of God. From baptism to the grave, and every moment in between, we cry out, Abba, Father, and rejoice that we are children of God. When Jesus taught us to pray to God, our Father, He also taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come. Paul's words in our text remind us of this petition, as he writes, The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Heirs of God. These words are necessary. So necessary in our world. Daily we are bombarded by messages that try to take God's kingdom from us. Open any magazine and take a moment to stop and look at the pages. Consider the advertisements, the pictures that draw you away from the things of God to the things of this world. Hair care products and cell phones, fine clothing and fine food. Vacation getaways and luxury cars. The riches of this world are set on display before you. As you glance through the pages, the life that you have seems less significant than the life that you could have. With hard work, a bit of luck, a trip to the boat, or a shrewd investment in the stock market, you will be able to leave your little life behind and live in the luxury of this world. Words of God to His people, to not covet the things of others, to love one's spouse and one's children, to be content with the calling into which you have been called, to rise and labor for the good of others, and to draw near to one another in the household of God. These words, this life, this church that God has made seems so outdated. It pales in comparison to the life that is promised us as we turn another page. America becomes the promised land, a place where we can indulge our desires, make something of ourselves, get ahead in this world, and if we keep a little bit of religion in our back pocket, trust that we will be blessed in the world to come. Being a child of God, however, means something other than accomplishing the American dream. Consider a moment in the history of Israel. Moses stood there before God on the mountain. Israel had sinned against God, aroused God's anger, and God had threatened to destroy His people. Moses interceded for them, and God listened to Moses. God, however, offers Moses a strange vision of life for the people of Israel. God says that they can have the promised land, the vineyards, the olive groves, the fields for barley and wheat, the pastures for cattle and sheep, the cities and the open spaces, all of the land flowing with milk and honey. They can have it, all of it. They just will have to have it without Him. God will not go with them into the promised land. Moses, however, puts the magazine aside. He is not tempted by the glossy pictures. He knows that without God, they have nothing. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? So Moses comes before God with nothing to offer. He simply relies on God's mercy and prays, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Moses will not have the kingdom without the presence of God. If you listen to Paul's words, notice how he focuses upon our relationship to God rather than the things of this world. We are heirs, he says, heirs of God. Not just heirs of a kingdom, we are heirs of God. God Himself has promised to go with us. He has called us together as His people and sent us forth to live in this land. Our lives will look different than those of the people around us. We will bless and not curse. We will be content with the calling into which God has called us. We will rise and labor for the good of others and draw near to one another in the household of God. Such lifestyles will not indulge in all the pleasures that America has to offer. Such people will not climb the corporate ladder, doing everything they can to get ahead. No, we will be content with what God gives us, knowing that in His kingdom, His presence is enough. If you look at Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal son, you will notice that he has frozen the story just at the moment before the son receives all of the tangible gifts from his father. The son does not have a robe placed over his shoulders. He does not have his father's ring on his finger. He does not have good shoes on his feet. Instead, one foot is bare and worn from suffering in the world. But what the son does have is his father. In the presence of his father, he is led to trust that he shall not want anything else. And that's the way our Lord has called us to live as people, in his people in faith. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he encouraged them to take up their cross and follow him. Life in this world will not be easy. It will not be filled with the best that this world has to offer. But it will be filled with God's love, His heavenly Father's work will continue after he rises and ascends into heaven, and we have the privilege of being called into God's mission. We are the children of God at work in our Father's kingdom, bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. Notice how Paul closes this section of the text. He writes, "We are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Paul calls to mind the suffering of Christ. We follow his way into this world, suffering with Christ, knowing that ultimately we will be joined to him in glory at the revelation of God's kingdom. We are heirs with Christ, children of God. I mentioned earlier that 32 years had passed between the first and last times Rembrandt worked with the prodigal son. Much happened in Rembrandt's life during those 32 years. He lost his wife, his wealth, three of his four children, as well as his reputation. He then lost his last and only surviving son. "In the world you will have tribulation," our Lord says, "but take heart. I have overcome the world." After losing all that our world would say gives life meaning, Rembrandt chose to focus upon the one thing that Jesus gives that this world cannot take away: the spirit of adoption. God the Father claims you as his child. Jesus makes us children of his heavenly Father. We bring our slavery to sin before God, and in Jesus we are forgiven. Our fears are silenced, and our future is secured. We are made children of God, children and heirs, heirs of a new world and a new kingdom to be revealed when Jesus returns, but more importantly, heirs of God himself. The Apostle Paul paints the picture for you this morning in this letter to the Romans. God the Father claims all of you as his children. He loves you, forgives you, embraces you, and claims you as his people because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
We praise you, O God, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father everlasting. To you all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To you cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise you. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise you. The noble army of martyrs praise you. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge you. The Father of an infinite majesty, your adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. When you took upon yourself to deliver man, you humbled yourself to be born of a virgin. When you had overcome the sharpness of death, you opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the you will come to be our judge. We therefore pray you to help your servants, whom you have redeemed with your precious blood. Make them to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you, and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us, as our trust is in you. O Lord, in you have I trusted, let me never be confounded. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you, and with your spirit.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, hear the prayers of your people. Grant to us all things needful and beneficial, and keep us from all things harmful. Holy Lord, mighty God, you are the strength of the hills and the hope of the ends of the earth. Give to our hearts your perfect peace, that we may not be anxious nor live in fear, but rest all our hopes, dreams, and desires upon your merciful goodness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, mighty God, you send forth water upon the earth, that it may bring forth abundant fruits and feed our bodies with all that we need. Help us to be wise and faithful in the use of the rich bounty of the earth, that the poor may be supplied, and that we never fail to give thanks to you for all that you have given us for this body and life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, mighty God, your word will not return to you empty, but will accomplish your purpose in sending it. By your Holy Spirit, make our hearts good soil for your word to be planted, that we may give evidence of a sturdy faith and show forth in our lives the good works that you have called us to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, Almighty God, your Spirit accompanies the witness of your people who speak your word before the world. Grant success to the missionary and mission planter, and to every pastor and church worker, that those who hear may believe, and those who believe may bear the good fruits of faith in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, mighty Lord, You have given power to the nation and those who govern to act for the good of your people. Bless our president, the Congress, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to lead us, that justice may prevail and your people may be free to live at peace with all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, mighty Lord, you know how weak and frail we are. Give to those afflicted in mind, body, or soul the fullness of your healing grace, that according to your will, they may be restored to health. Hear us for all those suffering or recovering from pandemic's ravages, for those who have requested our prayers, especially for Doris, Vicky, Carter, Eldon, Kurt, Terry, Duke, Christy, Kim, Cody, Kathy, Jarrett, and Ethan, and those who we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, mighty Lord, you have granted us great riches and gifts. Keep our hearts from being overburdened by the things of this mortal life, whether in time of plenty or in time of want. Deliver us from persecution and sustain us from all tribulation, that our hearts may ever be fixed upon the true treasure of your grace. Accept the tithes and offerings we bring as part of our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, mighty Lord, your word endures forever. Keep us from being tossed about by every wind of change and chance, and help us to endure upon the firm foundation of your word and sacraments. Prepare us that we may worthily receive the Lord's body and blood, and be kept by this blessed communion toward the day when we shall be reunited with all who have gone before and dwell in your presence forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In him, with him, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who dost in love proclaim each family thine own, bless thou all parents guarding well, with constant love as sentinel the homes in which thy people dwell. O Christ, thyself a child within an earthly home, with heart still undefiled, thou didst to manhood come. Our children bless in every place, that they may all behold thy face, and knowing thee may grow in grace. O Spirit, who dost bind our hearts in unity, who teaches us to find the love from self set free. In all our hearts such love increase, that every home by this release may be the dwelling place of peace.